Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's foremost college football podcast. How's that?
Could we say like first as well? First and foremost?
First and foremost.
Can we give it a season before we like give up the mantle?
That's true. Those are
my kill god.
I'm mostly uncomfortable with the qualitative description. Like, the nice thing about being the only college football podcast is there's no promise about, like, there's no good, there's no bad, it just is.
There's no morning after.
Right.
The furriest.
Yuck.
Mm.
I don't want to participate in that.
Buddy, you've been participating in it. That's too bad. Too bad.
So just pick an adjective, any adjective.
Joining me tonight, my co-host, Jason Kirk.
Oh. Hi, hello. We are having one of our audio nights, so stay tuned for audio things to happen.
Audio swinging. Do, 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 do.
Spencer, Holly, you still with us?
We are. Okay. We are still with you. Where did I leave you off?
You introduced me.
Yes.
Yes.
Jason joining us tonight from beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. Jason, are you outside tonight?
That's right. I am. We have ascertained visuals of Jupiter is very close to Saturn. Saturn as well is visible. And we also have our eyes on Mars tonight. So counting Earth, we are seeing half of the current canon planets. RIP Pluto, we will never forget you. Venus is unfortunately on the other side of Earth right now. But very excited to have half of our current mainstream solar system with us tonight.
That came up with my daughter this week. She was like, Dad, it's very mean they made Pluto stop being a planet. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
thank you. I completely agree with her.
I was like, yeah, it is actually pretty mean.
Pluto already has to sit out there by itself.
Right. Like, you couldn't let it have that?
And like, Pluto, doesn't Pluto have a moon that's as big as Pluto? Like, that's already humiliating.
Yeah, but like, Pluto, I'm just going to cut
this. Is my
Pluto
son.
Homer hanging around Jeremy Pruitt all the time.
Just a cold chunk of rock out there just wanting to be loved.
Hey, are you Pluto or the moon? That's humiliating. You say that and Pluto's just forget it. Don't even ask. I'm just going to go away for 1,000 years and come back around again.
There's a card game that some of the young children in our quarantine bubble are playing called like Planet Nine or something. And I read the back of the box and it was like, scientists have discovered a rogue ninth planet at the edge of the solar system. And I ground my teeth in rage just reading that.
You compared me to Earth's
intern. A ninth planet. Bitch, we already have a ninth planet.
Let's bring Pluto back. Although I will say this, I'm kind of a hater about Pluto and most other planets because... And Earth, too, because frankly, nobody's keeping up with Saturn. Saturn is the flossiest planet. It's got the coolest moons. It's got the best bling. Saturn has an entire zone where it's just raining diamonds all the time. You can't compete with that. Yeah, where carbon has been compressed into an ever-cycling endless...
Cerber, are you still with us?
Like, they're not even rings.
Hey,
they're
there we are.
Some kind of like, they're some kind of awesome...
Oh my God, I'm so glad Spencer's entire Saturn rant happened while our internet cut out. That's
I'm so mad at this already.
We got most of it.
I hate everything.
Are you on? Are you calling in from Saturn? Is that the problem?
It's been a good show, y'all. It's been good. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you next week.
Venus heard you talking shit. Because Venus is an excellent planet, too.
It's garbage.
Wow.
Venus has bugs in its atmosphere or whatever. We found the Venus chemical people floating around in the uninhabitable hells of Venus. So maybe we might want to go check it out sometime.
Venus, by the way, Venus is basically like pressure cooker the planet. It's hot. It's like 700 degrees. It's high pressure.
I think we're out again.
Has no moons. We got you.
He's here. Okay.
I like how the ancients looked at Venus and they were like, oh, beautiful. flawless paradise in the sky. Our sister planet, perfection, the jewel of the atmosphere. And then we got a closer look and it's, oh God, it's hell swamp. It's the worst place imaginable.
This is the inside of Satan's ass. That's what Venus would be.
My favorite thing about Venus is that it takes, like, I think it's like 225 Earth days to orbit the sun. But it takes, I believe, 240 days to rotate on its axis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one Venus day is a little over a year.
Yeah.
Think about how much you can get done. Think about how awesome your weekend is.
Think about how long you could sleep.
Think about how much fucking boiling in acid radiation volcano you can do over the course of one day.
That's right. That's
right.
What I'm hearing
is this. If I put the meat in here for an entire year, it's going to be the most perfectly cooked
fall off the bone
you've ever seen in your life.
The bone like will fall off the bone will fall off the bone at that point.
That's actually why they call it fallout. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to shout out Jupiter. Can we talk about Jupiter?
Sure.
So the thing about
Jupiter episode in a row.
The Jupiter is, if it had cooked a little bit more before it came out the oven, Jupiter would have been a second star. How cool is that? We would have two stars. We'd
Jason,
be good enough to play for Kansas State with that.
Can we get Jupiter in the Georgia accent of last week in that affect?
Didn't we do that?
Yeah.
No, for the folks at home, I just thought it might be a special treat.
I want to hear it again.
Jupiter.
Well, now I put you on the spot, but I feel like it was worth it.
Well, yeah, I had to think about it. So I think what I want to go for, I'm going to try it again. What I want to go for is that I'm calling my dog named Jupiter. Jupiter! So the,
yeah,
also,
yeah.
The cool that also about, sounds like you've lost your child named Jupiter at the mall.
So the cool thing about Jupiter is its job in the solar system is blocking shit that would be hitting us. Like we'd get assailed by nightmare comets all day long if Jupiter wasn't shoving everybody back out the club. So all of this is Jupiter's fault, really, because something should have ended us by now.
Jupiter's the 4-star, 5-star, like, that never panned out.
But still by our side. Still by our side to this day.
Jupiter's also thick across the middle. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Jupiter has what's called an equatorial bulge.
Same.
And that's because unlike the opposite of Venus, it takes Jupiter, I'm looking at it now, less than 10 hours to do a rotation on its axis. So
that
because
motherfucker's whirling.
So because it's whirling, like it's got a little thickness in the middle.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So basically, if you measure it across its equator, it's longer than if you measure it between its poles. Because it's thick in the middle, and fast. It's like a Kentucky running back.
It's like, whose fullback the other day did a spin move? NFL fullback on 3rd and 1 did a spin move. That's Jupiter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jupiter also, by the way, brought a bunch of good 2 and 3 stars with it. Whole bunch, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ganymede, yeah. Io, just like they, yeah. It brought all the guys who you're like, they really filled out the roster by bringing everyone along. So, hey, thanks, big time recruit, even if you weren't the star we thought you'd be.
Like half the moons that we think have some remote chance of being habitable are around Jupiter and Saturn. Just way out there where it's pretty cold. It's like, oh, that ball of hell ice might have hell ice creatures in it. Wouldn't that be nice for them? I think they
yeah,
love it down there.
That's the best part is when they go, when you hear astronomers go, yeah, we think there actually might be water, which means there are conditions for life. And you say, well, what sort of life forms? And they're like, oh, hellish, unimaginable creatures with minds twisted and torn by an interdimensional evil, incomprehensible to even the finest human mind.
And you're like, shit, yeah. So did you want barbecue sauce with that or honey mustard? Yeah.
See, if we take one of those and we put it on Venus, about a year, then we put it in foil for another Venusian year, it's going to be perfect.
Venusian.
Speaking of otherworldly, interdimensional horrors that nobody can understand.
Reader questions.
We do have a reader question. that we're going to do, since we have the one question mailbag this week. Coming up, I did want to also say, speaking of unimaginable horrors this weekend, guess what you get to watch? Oh, yeah, you get
Speed?
To watch.
Is it Speed?
Oh, it's always Speed.
Buddy, it's always. I'm gonna check. It's always Speed.
You keep talking, I'm going to find out.
Is it WCW main event? No, because that went off air 18 years ago.
Yes, I was gonna say that. Did you see any WCW matches live, Jason?
Like in person?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure my granddad would have taken me when I was very little. Yeah, yeah.
I saw Thursday Night Thunder live at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, yeah, featuring a match between Booker T and Chris Benoit.
Oh, okay, so that's more recent. Yeah. Back in the 80s at the Omni, I am certain I did WCW.
By the way, no, if you saw wrestling at the Omni, you're officially more Southern than I am.
I mean, that's, yeah.
You just ranked up.
Bro, I saw monster trucks at the Omni.
Damn.
I saw fucking Billy Graham at the Omni. So
I'm triple outclassed. Good Lord. You saw a soul saved, and you also saw a Billy Graham presentation. That's amazing.
Speed is on Saturday. Oh, that's next Saturday. That's a shame. Yeah, I think this is a speedless weekend, guys. Saturday, 9 a.m., you can wake up. That's Central Time, I believe. You can wake up and watch Speed on E!
Thank you, Ryan. I think I will.
You're welcome.
I was going to say not that, but Ole Miss at Arkansas. Ole Miss at Arkansas. Woo, yeah. Kickoff, the forecast, by the way, AccuWeather forecast says that at kickoff it will be 69 degrees Fahrenheit.
This game has major, like, Hangover 4 vibes, where you're like, this will be fun, right? And it's like, nope, not at this point.
They only had, like, 5 jokes. And they did them all.
You're like, wow, Ole Miss really pulled out all the stops last week. That means they have no stops.
Being like, come on, Zach Galifianakis is checking his phone in the middle of shooting. With the
Arkansas coming off of a baffling loss to Auburn. The only kind of loss to Auburn, really. The baffling kind. And Ole Miss coming off of, I don't know, a little miniature Texas Tech OU that they lost to Alabama. This feels like, is it possible for a game to be a letdown game for both teams? I believe Ole Miss and Arkansas can achieve that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that going around the SEC this year.
Yeah. Speaking of things going around the SEC. Mm. Yeah, we may not play LSU in Florida. Who knows?
I wasn't even trying to set you up for that.
Yeah, no. I just turned right into it. We might not play that.
Oh, you scared of a hurricane again? Is that what it is?
Yeah, now we get LSU and Florida arguing about masculinity and scheduling. My favorite thing.
Yeah, it's been, what, 2 years? 3?
Mm-hmm. Since the hurricane game? No, yeah. It's been like 5 years. It's been a long time since that.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. Two teams.
I think it was 2016, 2015, something like that.
There's nothing better than two teams that have happily snacked on the lesser Louisiana schools for cupcake games for years, arguing about bravery and scheduling for a game that they are, in fact, obligated to play as conference members every year.
Looks like 4 years.
Okay.
We were all pretty close.
We're all close. Close enough. It's my favorite thing in the world to watch LSU and Florida fans on a game they got to play anyway. Two teams that have had some of the most shameless cupcake scheduling imaginable arguing about who's braver. Delightful. That's if we get to play the game.
Get to.
Mm-hmm. The Thursday night game, though. Actually, the Wednesday night game. There's a Wednesday night game, y'all, with a ranked team. That is correct.
A ranked team against an undefeated team.
A ranked team against an undefeated team in what may be, honestly, this is the best. I can say this. This is guaranteed the best quality game that you will watch. I think Auburn, Georgia's second.
This is the GoDaddy Bowlest game of the year so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I will also say this is a game of extremely overspecified mascots and schools. because both of these schools are in fact a larger school and with a vaguer name, right? South Carolina Gamecocks? No, that's too general for me. I need something more specifically Carolina and chicken. Okay. How about the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers? That's like the luxury tier of the South Carolina chicken
world. Oh,
they're
like the Lexus or they're the Lincoln or whatever to the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're the luxury brand. They're the Comfort Inn to the Sleep Inn.
The Mercury to the Ford.
Right. They're like the Highland Farms to the Target brand.
They're the Xbox Pro One X.
Right.
Yes.
One that box.
Yeah, Trader Joe's to Aldi, right? Actually, same stuff, just a different label.
Moon to Pluto.
Moon to Pluto. Earth's intern, the moon.
They're versus... lovers, not fighters, baby.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Moon, the moon is our wife, I thought.
And I know the moon is our wife, and our husband is a ham sandwich. We are France.
That's exactly where my brain was going.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh yeah, the moon is our wife because it's made of cheese. I get it now.
That's right. Yeah, okay. And we one time made a delicious sandwich called a horrible life extinguishing collision that became the moon.
The sun is a fried egg.
Mmm, that gives us life, just like fried eggs. So the other team, I know some. It's listed on the site as Louisiana if you check ESPN.com, and I know that some partisans will insist on calling them Louisiana. You will forever be the University of Louisiana at Lafayette to me, making you a more specific than LSU. I understand
Folks,
that I'm going to get
Spencer
exactly
404-668.
No, what on earth are you? Like, LSU fans need help finding anyone's phone number. At least let them have that.
I don't
want
to be part of what's going to happen next, so please let me finish.
I'm going to get three crazy guys at Lafayette who are too fat to chase even me. You can't tell me how good the boudin and the food is and then also tell me you've got good foot speed. That's not happening. It's
you
one
can
or the
reach
other.
Spencer through the mail.
No. No, you Burbank, P.O. Box 1801, Burbank, California. I really hope I just remembered the Price is Right contestant P.O. Box accurately. I really hope I did. I know I didn't. Anyway, the Ragin' Cajuns. So not just a Louisiana team, but a specific type of Louisianan, right?
You're about to find out.
Yeah, that is a ranked 21st Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns team right there, baby. Respect it. The Sun Belt, this is the year of the Sun Belt, man. There's rampaging. University of Louisiana, by the way, favored by 7.5 points, if you're curious.
I just want to point out one game on the following night, Thursday nighter. Your Georgia State Panthers entered the week as 7-point underdogs. The line has since diminished because the world is picking up on the point that Georgia State's going to win outright at Arkansas State, despite being underdogs by as many as 7 points. That's it. Pick of the week.
Can I get a pit ruling real quick?
Oh, they're 10-point dogs to a ranked Miami team. Take those
Are
points.
You new?
They're going to lose. They're going to lose. Take those points, though.
that's kind of what I'm asking. Yeah, I'm like, to what degree is the super weapon charged?
Yeah, like that line opened at 9.5, and we all just sort of looked at it like, hold, it's going to get up to 10.5 now.
Our super weapon is covering.
That's right. Somebody, David Hale, had a stat. The teams over the last, I think, 20 years that have lost the most games by under a touchdown, mm-hmm. It was exactly what you would expect. Pitt. Followed by Indiana.
Like, so basically, if we want to know the teams that have lost the most close one-score games, just in your brain default to the tab that says, teams God hates.
The teams we talk about most. Yes, it's those
teams. Yeah, the teams we talk about, but the teams we adore. You're so close, little one. Like, if they'd won all of those ones, we'd be like, so tired of hearing about Pitt. So tired. We should just talk about anyone else.
Do you know the last time Pitt and Indiana played?
Oof, that had to be
1952.
Really?
Oof. Yeah. It's a good thing we kept them apart, because...
Yeah, cross, you're welcome, America.
Cross the streams.
What was... Did both teams lose that game?
No, that was the last was a 28-7 Pitt win, And before that, we had scores of 13-6. And
there's
there's even one in 1944. Indiana beat Pitt 47-0.
In the middle of World War II.
Yep.
That had to happen. That's really how we chose to spend our time.
Take that, Kaiser.
Hey, scoreboard.
Because there's some Pitt fan in a foxhole going, oh, when I get out of Guadalcanal, I just want to see how my boys at Pitt did. Somebody's like, they lost 42-0. You need to tell Jimmy that. Then a grenade hit him, and he's like, the last thing I'm going to think about is how we lost by 40 to Indiana. Hail Pitt. I now feel.
When you think about it, the trenches were the original pits. That's not actually true. The original pits were at Tenochtitlan.
Wow.
And now we've married the two common interests of everyone who listens to this podcast: human sacrifice and pits
and planets
and Pitt and planets.
Lots of pits.
Yeah. Also, I Georgia's gonna play Alabama. Georgia will probably. I think Georgia's going to win, and I am like,
wow.
No, he's
do you
just
think
doing that
or are you trying to put some sort of a smart
ass? He's just
doing.
He's being a
no.
Smartass.
I sincerely believe Georgia will win this game, and I know that me saying sincerely and trying to get my sincere voice on is only going to make everyone more suspicious. That's how I know the brand is strong, but I really mean it.
Do you think there's any chance that comment will make it way back to the Alabama? Like, is it possible that somebody's going to be like, listen to what this bearded asshole said?
The SEC Network's Spencer Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
That this is going to be bulletin board material?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Well, dude, I asked this because
Nick Saban has made up fake bulletin board quotes. Now he's got an SEC Network dude saying Bama's going to lose?
At home to Georgia?
Shit.
Once again, you can reach Spencer at 404.
Hey!
What? Stop stepping on my foot.
Why are you going to take LSU fans' great pride and joy, which is discovering people's personal information, away from them?
All right. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Listen, unlike Georgia's 40-year national championship drought, phone numbers can be changed.
Sometimes
I don't
just
have Ryan's phone number memorized.
Yeah, sometimes you just let it simmer. Let it sizzle on the pan. Let him enjoy that one. Because it's rich, layered, and accurate.
Like Vandy football.
Venusian.
Venusian.
Yeah, hey, you think like, you know, going around the sun in, you know, like one day. I think that's a long time. 40 years.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something I love besides exposing my friends and close colleagues to harassment and bombs in their mail is that we left off the last season of the shutdown full cast with just nonstop moon talking pretty early on in this iteration of the show. We're moving through the planets, you know, just call you Gustav Holst because you're making a symphony, buddy.
You know, Haley's comet comes around about every 75 years. The Georgia Bulldogs have one national title in that span.
Thank you, God. Thank you for this moment and for Haley's comet.
I think Georgia fans, it'd be Kaylee's comet. That's Kaylee's comet.
Oh, Kaylee's back.
With three
Hey,
E's.
Kaylee.
With three E's. Hey, Kaylee.
Kaylee. Cute.
Hey, sorry, I just had to go to...
Hi.
I'm sorry, I just got stuck at Home Goods. I love it.
Oh, God. Have you guys seen that cartoon? Do you guys know the comic strip I'm talking about with Haley's comet with the little boy and the old man?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay, so there's this three-panel comic strip, and in the first one, there's this little boy waving at a comet, and he goes, hello, Haley. And in the second one, there's an old man with his cane waving at Haley's comet, and it's, hello, Haley. And the third panel, there's no person, and it's just the comet. That, but with, like, a Georgia Bulldogs championship banner.
They finally won, and Haley's not here to look at it.
Hang on, I'm gonna pull up the comic strip here so y'all can look at it, because it actually is quite moving, and podcasting is a visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
I have, those are all the games I wanted to look at before. Has anyone got anything else that they want to keep their eye on that you would like to alert the listener before we move to our extremely important reader question?
Hang on. I found the comment. Spencer, come here. We're going to listen to you cry on air.
I will say I am delighted that Fox is in the position of having to make Kansas at West Virginia its Big Noon Saturday matchup. That's where we're at this point.
Well,
it's... I'm Gus Johnson, and I'm high as hell off Kansas football.
Rock chalk. Less miles.
Who furlongs?
He tested positive for COVID, right? Did I make that up?
Uh-huh. Jesus Christ, I forgot about... It is a mark of what is going on right now that I forgot about that.
We're
going
to hear Gus on air going, in our meetings this week with Les Miles, were you in the room with them? Yes, why?
Yes. he's got a very large tongue.
Did he kiss you? He kissed us on the mouth. He kissed you on the mouth, Gus? Ha ha! I'm just turning him into Phil Ken 7.
But I'm remembering the last time I saw Les in person when he thought LSU had invented Caesar salad. So
this is a great thing we have in the cafeteria that we invented.
I was like, they make it down here. It's very good.
I will say I'm a little annoyed that you skipped right over Auburn, South Carolina, which I think like everything you want emotionally out of Ole Miss, Arkansas, I think you should actually look to Auburn, South Carolina for.
Is that because in Auburn, South Carolina, somebody could sort of get fired for it?
Yes. That's correct. So
it just means more, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I intentionally skipped over this because I looked at it for a second and my brain did that little flipping thing. Like when you just take an egg that's already sort of fried, flip it over, and completely hard top it. Yeah.
Oh, this is the leftovers in the fridge that you don't have to open. You just look, you can just see through the Tupperware like, oh, that's not good. And we're not even going to bother to try to save the Tupperware in the process.
Oh, that's called, when you throw out the package.
Yes, yes.
It's called a science experiment.
That's right. We haven't made chili in months. Oh God, that can't be good.
Did someone try to make alcohol out of fried rice that's been left in here?
An egg salad? That's amazing.
Fermented? If I open this, the EPA will bust through the
door. That's how we got Jepson's Malort.
Yeah. That's I forgot. Am I the only person here who's actually had Malort?
I have not, and I will not.
I certainly have not.
Jason, have you ever had Malort?
I can't recall, but I feel like not recalling is part of the
experience. You if you can't recall, you have not had Jepson's Malort.
No, you would remember it no matter how trash you were, because I was very drunk when I tried it, and the experience is as vivid to me as if I had taken it sober.
Maybe you basically more so. Have to be at like a Chicago wedding or like a Notre Dame anything, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty much only sold in the Chicagoland area, even though it is made in what hellmouth? Florida. Florida is where Jepson's Malort is.
That's
distilled.
Not true. Is that true?
It is. Yeah. Jepson's Malort, the distillery, is in Florida. They ship everything to Illinois.
Well, that's upsetting.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. You can only get the delicate hairspray taste of Malort if you distill it in the perfect conditions of the Florida ecosystem.
Oh, they've moved the distillery back to Chicago, but you're right. For many years, it was produced in Florida.
Yeah, it's probably not as good. There's probably people in Chicago like, yeah, it's not as good now. Doesn't have that Florida stink in it.
The terroir.
The terroir. Oh, God, I'm not even going to try that.
It tastes like, I love it. It tastes like Rex Grossman's pro career.
The terroir. Terroir.
In Florida, it's just called Terry.
Terroir Rubisky.
Tastes like a guy named Terry.
Yeah, you'll go out with a bunch of people from Chicago who sound totally normal and don't sound like some kind of demented, antiquated stereotype of a Chicago Bears super fan. You'll go to a bar and have 11,000 drinks, and all of a sudden, all of them will sound like Bill Swirsky, and they'll be like, you gotta try Malort! No! I can smell the horror from here. No, you gotta try it! It's great! It's not great. It tastes like putting White Rain hairspray full blast in your mouth for about a minute. But all in one go.
So like a pre-K ballet dressing room.
Yeah, if you've ever gotten deodorant in your mouth,
Oh, sure.
I drank Brut aftershave on a band trip one time.
It's actually, okay, having also consumed Brut aftershave.
That's methyl alcohol, by the way. Don't do it.
What? Did you say methyl alcohol? Yeah, that's the good stuff. Yeah, it tastes exactly kind of like if you combined. It is just the most tongue-curdling flavor. It's amazing, and I don't know why it was ever created, but I'm glad it was because I had it. It was terrible, and it's fun to talk about. Also, their advertisements say things like, tonight's the night you fight your dad, Jepson's Malort. Hmm. Shall we get to our question?
Sure.
See, no way of stopping you.
So, this is a leftover from last week, which is why we did not. We thought it was good, so we did not solicit questions for this week. We will do that again for next week. Perhaps you'll be fortunate enough to have your question be the only question we take in the single user mailbag. This is from longtime friend of the program, Janie Campbell.
Good evening, Janie.
At It's Janie C on Twitter.
I'm holding up the U right now.
Yeah, which you should do.
And I'm thinking about violating building codes.
I'm thinking about paying a recruit in a very traceable way and then admitting it happily and suffering no repercussions and enjoying only love from everyone who finds out.
You paid him in a gift card with your name on it, and it said to him, Happy Bagman.
Kane's fam!
Starbucks money, bitch!
By the way, speaking of Kane's fam, like, can I tell you what absolute glorious Miami greatness it was on game day for Desmond Howard to say that Desmond had to pick Miami? I'm going, hey, Des, you better pick Miami. You better pick Miami. That message coming from Ray Lewis on his phone.
Oh boy.
This is how about it Desmond Howard is, that he was like, nah, Clemson's got it. Ray Lewis is on your phone going, you better pick Miami on air. Desmond's like, no big deal. Got this. Our question from Janie is this. All four of you must band together to complete a heist that is somehow football related, involves at least one animal at least one point in time, and the total value of the haul is $100,000 or more. What is the heist? And how does it go down? I have an answer for this.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted to see. Does anyone else have one before I go?
My first thought involved Rick Ross and stealing a whale shark from the Georgia Aquarium as a distraction for robbing the Federal Reserve during the Super Bowl.
Ooh, that's good. Who's the wheel man in the crew?
You?
Yeah, I think I would qualify for wheel man. I think I'll be okay at that.
Yeah.
What is your role here?
Mine?
Yes.
Talking.
So you're going to distract?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the animal?
The whale shark.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry.
Which
Sorry.
Has to be at least somebody.
Really, for it's some reason, heist. It's,
for some
it's
reason,
heist.
I thought the whale shark was like a participant, but
yeah, the whale.
Hey, that's the sequel.
The whale sharks. Hey,
we'll
listen.
Give you Ocean's fucking 12.
I'm the computer guy. Whale shark.
The whale shark's the stick man. You ever seen that guy hold a gun? Damn.
Jason obviously is on demolition and munitions.
And I'll sure. bring snacks.
Okay. Okay. A good tray bake is always welcome at a heist, and it won't spill when the car goes around a fast turn.
And Rick Ross will be buying the whale shark because he doesn't want to see anything that beautiful in a cage. He wants it to go free.
Yes, correct. He's our buyer. In honor of Janie, I thought that we should conclude the heist in Miami. He didn't really want the whale shark at all. We were a distraction because he had hired a second crew to rob the Federal Reserve.
Ooh, very Ocean's 13. Sure.
So yeah. This is how we end up with the whale shark in our crew. In the sequel, because we end up having to adopt it.
Yeah, but we put it into the habitat while it's, you know, where we're all flashing the U sign. That's how it ends.
The whale shark's name? Sebastian.
Of course, because I want to call a whale shark Seabass for short. Why not?
Love it.
All right.
What was your answer?
My answer for how we do this, okay, and I thought very practical terms. I thought, well, we need a total value of, we need a little over 100 grand. We need at least one animal. And I, in fact, have, mine involves hundreds, if not thousands of animals, all right? And it involves what I know are probably pretty attainable items. If you go to Arlington for one of the, in the future when we can actually go to football games, if you go to Arlington and you go to the Jerry Dome, there is a Ford display slash mini dealership in the upper deck. And it has an F-150 in a pool. Like, it's on a little standee in a pool. So if you thought, what's the most ridiculously Texan thing you could possibly invent? It would be, well, we're going to get a truck. And then we're going to put it on a little island. And that island's going to be in a pond. And that pond's going to be in a football stadium. And that football stadium is going to belong to the Dallas Cowboys. And the seats.
What point did McConaughey enter this picture?
It's so dreamy, it has to involve McConaughey. Mm. And that right there is going to be some Texas. So, but that's a real thing. There's an F-150 up there. They've got pretty much every other Ford car currently available on the market in these kind of stacks in the rafters that, you know, where they kind of, it looks like something a kid would invent, which I think is why it's pretty cool on the face of things. Like, it's just cars stacked up in these like iron chutes that you can see when you're walking from point A to point B on the, around the upper, you know, rim of the stadium. So in order to steal these, and these are the four roles, okay? I'm wheelman one because I can drive, okay? No, Holly, you're going to love your role in this,
okay?
Your role in this is going to be beekeeper slash bee bombardier.
I accept with no further questions.
That is correct, because I thought, which member of the crew would want to throw an entire crate full of bees at security people? And the answer is you.
Oh, thank
you. All right. So at a normal Cowboys game, again, we will only need to buy tickets for this.
I don't care what everybody else says about you. I think you're great.
So all we are going to do is we are going to go to a Cowboys game. I will be wheelman one. Jason, you will be wheelman two. Holly, you will be in the back of Jason's truck because it will be the back one. I will be pushing forward. And Ryan, you're going to be our
snacks. Brand. I'm bringing snacks.
Ryan's got orange slices in a large Tupperware container.
Who wants Capri Sun?
Yeah, I was going to have you, you know, drive a car out if you wanted to. But, you know, snacks, you can do that too. Okay, so all we need to do is take a bunch of bees and load them up into the back of the truck, cut the bolts, get the cars down while something terrible is happening on the field. That's our distraction, by the way. The Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
We don't need a distraction. It's already on the field. While everyone's horrified with that, we hotwire the cars and simply drive them out of Jerry World, clearing the path by throwing down an entire hive and a half of bees. And then you drive them out. It's over $100,000 worth of goods. We freed some bees. And I got to tear ass in an F-150 out of Jerry World. I don't think there's anything wrong with this plan.
I want to be free.
I mean, you are in Dallas. Like, you immediately are in Dallas afterwards. And that part's not as good.
No, but we know where the Taco Cabana is.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Also, 100,000 Texans are now mad at Ryan for saying the Cowboy Stadium is in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's Arlington! Yeah.
People are very specific about these things. I think what we should do is we should all enroll at the University of Colorado at Boulder. We should join the mascot program.
Love this so far.
During Colorado, let's say Oregon State, when no one's really paying too close of attention, we simply liberate Ralphie.
Wow.
He's got to be insured for $100,000 or whatever. So, done deal.
Are we ransoming Ralphie or are we just...
Just letting her roam.
Are we fencing Ralphie?
No. You can't fence
Ralphie.
Ralphie
will trample not just a physical fence, but also a human whose job is fence. Neither of them can contain Ralphie.
Yeah.
And then I think, I mean, whoever wants can go live with Ralphie, I guess.
Sure.
That's my job.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I want us to steal Howard's Rock. And...
Hey, Ryan, let me push back on this. It's happened before. What makes us special?
Because here's how we're going to do it. There are four roles, and I haven't cast these, so if a role here sounds particularly juicy to you...
Is there a role that involves living with a buffalo?
No, but...
Okay, Spencer, just hang loose for a second.
Okay.
So the first role, the most involved role, arguably, somebody needs to become a falconer, like a really good falconer.
I've had enough falcons, thanks.
Okay. So Jason's out there. Holly, Spencer, either of you want to develop like expert level falconry?
I will be the falconer. I'm volunteering for falconer.
Okay.
No, I'm going for falcon.
Spencer, your job is this. You need to find a falcon that looks significantly like Auburn's hawk and train it to carry rocks that look and are the size of Howard's Rock away in its talons. Okay. But okay. Again, it's very important that it's not just any bird. Somebody looking at this, their first thought needs to be, hang on, that's one of Auburn's 18 mascots. Okay. That's your job.
Okay. Okay.
Jason, I'm going to make you our fake recruit.
Okay.
Okay. So, and you know, if we can do what we need to do to get you there, but you are scrappy wide receiver considering a scholarship offer from Auburn.
Maybe he's been on a Mormon mission for a couple of years.
Sure, absolutely. Maybe we can absolutely sell, like, yeah, he was a minor league pitcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For
Can I tell Dabo I'm his son and see if...
Whatever you think... Well, there is one twist here that's going to make that a little challenging, actually.
Okay.
If you want to go with, like, nephew... That'll work, because the other role, and this is either Holly or me, it doesn't matter, is the parent of our fake recruit.
Ooh.
Holly, I'm going to let you wait until I tell the last role here.
I think it better be me, though, because Ryan, you have a very youthful visage.
Okay.
And I'm not sure we could buy like a 17, 18
the
age year
difference.
Age difference between you and Jason.
Okay, that's fair. So here's what's going to happen. Holly and Jason, you are going to go to Clemson on a recruiting visit. At this recruiting visit, you're going to ask to see Howard's Rock, and you're going to ask to touch it. And they're going to say yes, because they're rolling out the red carpet. They really want Jason to be a Clemson Tiger, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to open up the case. We are going to signal to Spencer to release our hawk to swoop down, grab Howard's Rock, and fly off with it. But that's not all we're going to do. They're immediately going to freak out, and they're going to try to figure out, where is this hawk going? Spencer, you're going to release a second, almost identical-looking hawk with a fake rock that is going to fly to me, waiting in a car that is decked out in Auburn colors. And my role is fake Auburn fan. And I am taking the fake Howard's Rock and driving as fast as I can to Auburn, Alabama, because that's the decoy. While we have the real Howard's Rock, they will think this was all some sort of Auburn bullshit aimed to hurt their program, aimed at their longstanding like history of theft between the programs. And that's the distraction. They'll think this is all an Auburn job while we are in the Caribbean with Howard's Rock.
When you say with Howard's Rock, and I see us like drawing a face on Howard's Rock.
Oh, yeah. Ordering yeah, it's a our, drink it's our for Wilson. Rock. It's our Wilson, yes.
Yeah, it's our Wilson. We've got a little
we
hat on it.
We disguise ourselves as a family with family reunion style t-shirts that say Howard's plural rock exclamation point.
Yes, yes. Yep.
I've established a fake bank account in the Caymans for Mr. Rock, Howard.
Yeah, but you forgot the number, so we're going to have to get jobs.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll remember it, and it'll have interest in like 30 years.
Yep.
Ryan, the only problem, I'll begin training for it, is that rock is on a significant incline, and it's going to take quite quite an athletic feat to scale that hill to get close enough to the rock to remove this case. But I'll begin training.
No. That's what I'm going to say. We're going to ask them, hey, can you take the case off?
Yeah, so that saying, we I'm can. Someone has to scale that grand incline. you have to get up there, that massive, massive hill.
Right. You're right. Okay. So maybe we need to train a third bird who's strong enough to take off cases.
Three bird!
Well, you also need a bird who can handle that altitude, because just because a bird can fly doesn't mean, sure. You know, you can't send a bird up to Mount Everest. You also can't send a bird up to an incline of that angle that right. we have in Clemson Stadium.
Right.
Mm. By the way, this is all encouraging a vision for me of Bizarro Clemson, the place where Bizarro Clemson runs up the hill to start the game like idiots.
Let's run go,
away,
boys!
Run away!
offensive lineman, hands on knees.
Oh, God.
Me, Bizarro Clemson, me run uphill.
Can we combine that with South Carolina so we're playing fucking Sandstorm while the O linemen run uphill?
I kind of thought that's what Will Muschamp would do. Well, we got a hill. We run up it.
And he doesn't like the effort. Back down the hill. Come on back up. Let's do this right.
I think if you branded
it. These fans came to see a show.
I think if you branded it successfully, you could be like, they're running out of hell. Look at them.
Me
they,
Bizarro,
they just
me
sacked
Bizarro
Satan
Clemson.
For a seven-yard loss. Now they're coming for you.
Me tigered that hold.